Blog Talk Radio.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I seek protection with Allah from Shaitan, the rejected enemy. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Dear IWDM listeners, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Assalamu alaikum. Tonight's program features your host, Mark Shaheed and Quran Shakir. I am Quran Shakir, and it is my pleasure to serve as today's engineer, co-producer, and co-host. This is a learning lab, dear listeners, and we hope you are in the learning mode because you have tuned into a program focused on examining sound approaches to finding a mate and the do's and don'ts and prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. While we are making our introductions and our opening announcements, we ask you to do us a favor and share the joy of this program by letting your family and friends know that you are listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio. To do that, simple, send a text, make a post, invite them to join you at 714-816-4673. And now, dear listeners, without further ado, it is my esteemed pleasure and honor to introduce my co-host, Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam to you, Quran Shakir, and to the IWDM radio listening audience. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Ashhadu ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian, evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in the excellent salutation, the prayers, and peace be upon the Prophet. And Mark Shaheed, the host, facilitator, producer, along with Quran Shakir, of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, is heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio. And we want to say to those of you who tune in for the first time, Quran and I would want you to feel very welcome and to see this as your learning lab, and we ask you to bring any questions and comments that you may have in regards to courtship and marriage to the lab here, and also the information that we'll be disseminating tonight on part two of polygyny, of the four R's of polygyny based on revelation. We do welcome any questions that you may have in regards to that. We want to say to those who have dialed into the studio, all you have to do is press 1 if you want to ask a question or make a comment. And Quran has already said to those of you who listen by way of the internet, and we know we have quite a few people that be listening in by the internet, if you want to be a part of this learning lab and you have a question or comment that you might want to make, or even if those of you who are listening in, if the information is resonating with you and you're listening by way of the internet, you do have to call into the studio once again, 714-816-4673. And Quran will alert me that you have pressed 1, you have your hand in the air, and we will come to you for your question or comment. We also we want to inform you that we do have a foundation for this learning lab, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It's the same as the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab. Our sources that we use in terms of disseminating information education is number 1, Al-Quran, And number two is the life example of the prophet in the demonstration of the Quran. And number three, the tafsir, oftentimes translated as commentary. I like better clear explanation by our scholarly imam, W.D. Muhammad, on both Quran and the life example of the prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the foundation for this learning lab, Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And we're using an excellent tool, which is the premarital questionnaire. We've been on it for quite a few weeks. And we're on the category of family planning. Family planning. And Quran will give you the information how you can still obtain this outstanding tool that can be used for those of you who have been inspired and aspiring to be married, to get to know that potential mate better. I also want to emphasize that we have also included a prerequisites for this premarital questionnaire, and it's simply sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. Very, very important that you must have that when you are looking over the premarital questionnaire and answering those questions first and foremost for yourself. And then if Allah bless you with someone that have an interest in you and you have an interest in them, it's a mutual interest that you have and you want to get to know each other better, it is the same for that potential mate, which is, once again, sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency. Very, very important. We also want to make sure that we have a better understanding of polygyny. I know this is always a very intriguing topic. Every time I've taken the topic on, we always get a lot of listeners that come sometime with preconceived ideas in regards to polygyny. But because Allah has allowed it and permitted it, we should want to be able to obtain that information so that if we're ever approached in regards to being questioned in terms of what our religion is about in terms of men being allowed to marry more than one woman, we can be very informed and give intelligent responses to those who may inquire in that regard. We're not saying that polygyny is for everybody, but I think that if when we look at it through the lenses of these four R's that we began last week, we can see if, in fact, the requirement, and many will not be meet those requirements. And I think we kind of focused pretty much last week on the first R, which is requirements. We're going to look tonight in terms of looking at responsibility, and those four R's are requirements: responsibility, remedy, and then rights. And we'll be, as we said, we'll use the Quran as a foundation for that. We will use the life example of the prophet in the demonstration of the Quran as foundation for that, and also the tafsir, clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad. So with that being said, we want you to bring an open mind, an open heart, and bring your pen and pad, because I think some noteworthy things will be said tonight on the Learning Lab. And we do invite you to press 1 if you need more clarification to ask the question. Quran and I welcome any and all questions that you have. To the best of our ability, we will try to answer that. So with no further ado, as always here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, it's a tradition of ours to always have an overview from the last episode of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And for that, we go to our very distinguished, esteemed host, Quran Shakir. Assalamu alaikum once again, Quran. Always good to hear your voice.
Wa alaikum assalam, and it is always good to serve this space with you, alhamdulillah. And to our listening audience, Last week, we were happy and pleased to be able to bring to you the subject of polygyny from the waist up, looking at the four R's based on the revelation of Quran. And Brother Mark shared those four R's with you, and that's one of the things we introduced to our audience last week. And then also what we did, I think, is very important when we think about from the waist up, polygyny from the waist up, is that we come from the perspective of Quran. So we share some ayahs in the Quran we think is important for you to note. So one of the ayahs that we shared was Surah 4, Ayat 4, another Surah 4, Ayat 5, Surah 4, Ayat 127, Surah 4, Ayat 128, Ayat 129, and 130 from Surah 4. So we looked at these ayahs and how Allah has declared that He is the protector of women. These are my words from what we talked about last week. He is the protector of women, and that He has established this opportunity for men in the community and for the community itself to guard the women who had been historically abused, neglected, and treated inequitably. And so Allah gives us revelation where He says, give the women their bridal gift as a free gift. And He says, do not give away your property, which Allah has made for you, a means of support to the weak of understanding. And He said, clothe them and speak to them words of honest advice. And He says, concerning them, He reminds you of the injunctions which you were recited to in the book about female orphans whom you do not give what has been ordained for them. So Allah, and I'm not giving the exact ayahs because we went over it last week, so I'm just giving you an overview. And so when we looked at this particular ayah, and that was ayah 127 of Surah 4, Allah is really looking at this idea of the women who were orphaned, and men saw an opportunity where they may have had wealth, they may have had means, and they saw it as an opportunity to be one to guard over their, to be the trustee over their goods. And so Allah garnered that by saying, no, this is not for you to do it like that. Allah put dignity on that opportunity to guard and protect the women. And so we, last week, as we were looking at the idea of polygyny, two things we did was to define the difference between polygyny and polygamy. And so polygamy is the practice of having multiple spouses simultaneously. So a woman or a man can have more than one spouse at the same time in the idea of polygamy. Well, polygamy is not something we do in Islam. It is polygyny that we do. And polygyny is when you have a marriage where a man has more than one wife. That is polygyny. So we gave that definition of polygamy and polygyny. And then also with the sharing of the ayahs that Allah has given us, we summarize and deduce that the most important thing for us to note and realize is that polygyny in Islam is designed to be a preservation of family life. It is not designed to be something personal for someone's personal gain, but it's a preservation of family life. It is an extension of family life. It is a way to plan for the success of the family through this because of the historical perspective, and also as we bring it forward to today, then, you know, because we always want to make sure that we understand the Quran is a book for all times. And being a book for all times, even though some special events may have happened over 1,400 years ago where revelation came to correct it and give guidance to it, it is also relevant to us today. And so Allah says in Surah 4, Ayat 129, that we have this opportunity to prepare and honor marriage for our young people and for those who are struggling. And with that, then we have the opportunity to choose a mate for protection for the family life. And so we have to use the guidelines that Allah has given us in doing that. So alhamdulillah, that is my brief overview of last week. Thank you so much, Brother Mark. I turn it back over to you.
Alhamdulillah, that simply means that the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost always. And we want to thank Quran Shakir always for doing an excellent job and giving us an overview, highlighting those things from the last episode. Just want to say, and it can't be overemphasized, some of the misnomers that many actually have when we think about polygyny, that it is actually for men. No, it is for widow women. It is for the orphan women, orphan girls, and it is for the children. As Quran so eloquently articulated, one of the highlights is for the preservation of family life. If when we look at the word polygyny, we see the word a gene that's in there, that is an indication, as Imam Muhammad taught us to look at words, that it's actually an indication that, implication, I should say, that this is about family life and extension of family life. When we look at polygamy, we see gang almost that's in there, and then having multiple, partners or spouses as is defined in the dictionary. Polyandry is when the correct term, for women that would have more than one husband is called polyandry. That's not allowed in the religion of Al-Islam, and there's a reason for that, obviously, and I think it won't even insult anybody's intelligence in actually seeing the logic in that, but that's called polyandry, you know. So polygyny is permissible. It is allowed in there, we're going to talk about tonight some of the responsibilities we talked about, as Quran covered in the overview, in terms of the requirements, and it can't be underscored that if in fact that there is a Muslim man is talking about his rights to have more than one wife, but you don't hear and don't know that he meets the requirements, and you don't hear him mention anything in terms of responsibility, like our good brother and friend, and my friend Imam Kazim Ahmed, who really understood what polygyny was all about in terms of responsibility. He simply said, I have two responsibilities. I have two responsibilities. When it's done right, with the guidance of Almighty God, Allah, then this can help you to earn the Jannah. The Jannah meaning the paradise. If in fact that we are guided by our own lust. Let me just say something in terms of from the waist up, and then we'll get on to the R's. It was years ago that I invited Imam Kazim Ahmed, and so he is one that asked that be the topic, and I opened up for him. And I gave somewhat of a summation in terms of looking at what is the waist up, what is it that we see in the anatomy of the human being. Well, the first thing we see from the waist up is the stomach. And then we see the heart. And then we go up to the highest point of the human being, which is the head, where the human brain and the mind and intellect is located. So, polygyny from the waist up, we want to look at in terms, is symbolic of the appetite. What is the appetite? It is that we should have. always the appetite, what is that we should have. It should not be a personal appetite for our own personal aggrandizement, and all the appetite always should be to please our Lord and Creator. That should always be the appetite. And then when we look at the heart is symbolic of the intentions, the niyyah, the intentions. The intentions should always be pure. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that all matters are judged by your intentions, by your intentions. So pure intentions is always to please Allah. You see, this is what we're talking about. What I'm giving you is insight here. And many, much of this here I've learned from Imam Muhammad, but being a student and just, you know, he pointed out things to us that whatever it is we find in the natural creation, it has a counterpart in man. So I'm just giving you the counterpart. Quite a counterpart means a likeness in man, okay? So what else does the heart represent? The heart also represents your motivation, what moves you. So we talk about what is moving you, since we're talking about polygyny. What would move a man to polygyny? What would move a woman to polygyny, you see? And what is it that you desire, you see? That also is symbolic of the heart. And then when we, and so we want to make sure you understand that our intentions, our motivation, our desire is pure, you know, because Allah tells us in the Quran that it is the shaitan who creates false desire. So if we ask ourselves the question, and Allah wants us to question revelation, to get more in-depth information, then if shaitan creates false desire, then what is the true desire? The true desire always is to please our Lord and Creator, okay? And we only can do that by being informed or having the knowledge. This is what this learning lab is about, to give you correct information and so you can be informed and stay informed, if you will. And so, you know, when we look at the head, this is above the waist too. Where the intellect, the human brain, the intellect and the mind is. And so this is where the thinking actually happens. So our thinking should be what? In accordance with God's word. You see? There is no better word if when Imam has said to us, words make people. Well, what word do we want to be made by? It should be by the word of revelation, the final revelation, which is the Quran. There's so much more I can say about that, but I just wanted to give you a little thumbnail sketch in terms of what we're talking about from the waist up. But these R's are something that we have to consider, and I put them in this order. So, as I said last week, maybe some sisters may have a frown on their face when they hear the word polygyny. And may after we finish with this topic, you may have some brothers with frowns on their face when they understand, you understand, there is a system of knowledge that comes along with whatever it is that Allah has established, and he has established the sacred institution of marriage, that meaning monogamy, but also polygyny. But there are requirements. And from last week, it has to be said that the man that is looking at polygyny, according to God's guidance in the Quran, he has to be just. And in Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah, Ayah 3, in which comes in terms of orphan girls and all, he has to be just. And at that time, in historical context, you know, there was many, you understand, that was looking at for their own selfish gain, you see. So we had to be just. And if you don't think that you can be just in that regard, then just only one wife is required for you. You don't meet the other requirements in that regard. And also, we're going to be looking at the rights we've already talked about, the mahar, that is due and everything. We discussed that last week. But we're going to be, when we get to rights, and you notice the rights is the last of the four R's. So we're going to look a little bit at responsibility. And we're going to look at that by way of the Quran. So, Quran, I'm going to ask you if you're ready to go to back to Surah An-Nisa, but this time go to Ayat 34, the 34th verse of the Quran. And please, dear believers, and when you come to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, always bring a pen and pad so you can go back and you can read these ayats for yourself. But this ayat is going to give us some information as to the role and responsibility of the men as given by the guidance of Allah. Quran?
Beautiful. Yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Mark, for that reminder to us. And I just want to remind our listening audience that you are listening to IWDM, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and tonight's program is a special program where we were doing the premarital questionnaire. So this is still a part of it as we look at this important aspect of marriage and choosing a mate. Is it something that you want for your mate? And so what we want to do also is I want to comment on some things you said, Mark. And one was that, you know, there could be women with a bad taste in their mouths about polygyny. And sometimes that bad taste in our mouths are because of the experiences that we have seen regarding it. So, inshallah, we pray that we can clarify some things such that that bad taste won't be for the concept and the idea of polygyny as Allah has presented to us, but it'll be a bad taste for how men and people have brought it to our communities and to our families. Just a reminder for that also to those listening. And also, we want to say to you, as Mark said, that, you know, have your pen and paper ready, yes. And if you have questions, you have comments, we do it. Get excited when you are engaged with us. So one thing we promised you, last week we asked you to go to our social media page and we asked you to like the post about the program that we were doing. And then we also asked you to share comments. And in your sharing of comments, how did you benefit from the program? What still touches you? What questions do you still have with any of that that you want to share? And I just have one comment of somebody who did post on our social media. And our social media, if you want to go ahead right now and follow us and like us on Instagram and Facebook, is Bring It to the Lab. So go right ahead and do that. Earlier, Mark, you asked also that I share how people can get the questionnaire. So those of you who are interested in the questionnaire, you can go to our social media page because it's posted there. And we have a link that will take you straight to it. So it's Bring It to the Lab on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you don't want to go to social media, you can email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. We sent out a few through that, but I think it's easier if you just go on the social media, you can get it right away. All right. Now we're looking this week at Surah 4, Ayat 34 and 36. I mean, through 36. And it reads like this, dear listeners. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It says, men are in charge of women by right of what Allah has given one over the other and what they spend for maintenance from their wealth. So righteous women are devoutly obedient, guarding in the husband's absence what Allah would have them guard. For those wives from whom you fear arrogance, first advise them. Then if they persist, forsake them in bed. And finally, strike their consciousness. But if they obey you once more, seek no means against them. Indeed, Allah is ever exalted and grand. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, Allah the Mighty has spoken. So that's Surah 4, Ayat 34 to 36. All right, dear listeners, are you ready to join us in this conversation about these ayats where Allah talks about the responsibility that he has given to the men and to the women, really? So let's talk about that.
Yeah, so Quran, you know, when you read that, you know, obviously the first responsibility Allah is addressing the men, you know, in terms of their responsibility, obviously, and this is what we're talking about in terms of one of these four R's. The Arabic is Arajul, Kanamuna, Anisa, and we have actually talked about this in previous learning labs, and all. It's very, very important for men to know. It actually is saying Arajul is that the men or the legs, they are the support for the protection and the maintenance of the women. And, of course, you know, your wife is a woman, so that becomes an obligation. As Imam Muhammad has taught us, that the obligation of one becomes the rights of the other. So this is the obligation of the man, but it becomes the right of the woman in terms of being assured that she will be protected and she will be maintained. And as you don't look at all of it in terms on the physical level, you have to look at the various components that make up the human being, you know, in that regard. So this is the role and responsibility that the man has. And then Allah goes on to say, and therefore, the righteous woman. And, you know, when we think about in terms of the righteous woman, the implication is that in Allah giving the responsibility that the man has, that he's a righteous man. He's was righteous in terms of taqwa, a God-conscious man, in terms of performing his role and responsibility and adhering to his obligation. So it just stands that the woman will be consciously regardful, and a conscious, regardful woman would be a righteous woman in the recognition of that also. Now, this obedience, we want to clear that up. So it's devoutly obedient. The devout obedience is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, Allah the Most High. You see, it stands to reason that she would be devoutly obedient to her Lord and Creator too, just as the husband that she have. The man, you understand, in terms of his role and responsibility. This is very, very important. And then, you know, it goes on in terms of her role and responsibility as Allah has given the parameters. And she will also guard in his absence that which he would have her to guard. So see, you know, that the man has a role and responsibility of protecting and guarding, but also maintaining. But the woman has similar but different in the role and responsibility. As he makes go out to maintain his wife, his family, to maintain the home life environment, responding to the social needs, that's part of the maintenance, to the social needs. Out of the social nature comes social needs. And so the man is given that responsibility. Well, she has a guard in his absence when he's away to, you know, and also to have him in a level of comfortability, that he is very trustworthy in that regard, that she will be protecting him in what it is that Allah has blessed him to be able to do to protect and maintain her and the family life. This should make sense to God. And And so even when it is that the husband may say something to her because he's adhering to God's word of revelation and protecting her, that maybe it may have been an oversight on her part, and he says that to her, then she should listen to what it is he is actually saying, because she is consciously regardful of Allah, that I have a man that is performing his role and responsibility. And what he's saying to me, he's saying out of love, because he wants me to be protected in my absence. And she also has a responsibility to protect his honor, his honor, his character in his absence. There's more could be said about this, and maybe, inshallah, God willing, we'll talk more about this, because oftentimes we hear about the role and responsibility of the man, but oftentimes we don't hear about the role and responsibility of the woman in terms of how she preserves the family life and what her role and responsibility is in the relationship to her husband. But it is in terms of guarding and protecting, but something different in that regard. Yeah. So with that being said, Quran, I want to just get some insight from you, because this actually speaks to the responsibility that Allah has given to all men in that regard. I seem like I heard a voice coming in. Okay, so with that being said, I'll give it back to you, and want to say to our radio listening audience, those of you just may have tuned in a little late, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with Quran Shakir and Mark Shaheed, and we're on polygyny, the four R's of polygyny based on revelation tonight. And we're looking at responsibility by way of the Quran in that regard. So if you have any questions or any comments, we do ask you to press 1. And for those of you who are listening by way of the Internet, you can join in on the conversation by dialing 714-816-4673. To you, Quran.
Beautiful. I love that explanation for our listening audience. And then when we look at this idea of responsibility, and responsibility is a word that Allah charges us with to, you know, you talked about the right, you know, but your right come from taking care of your responsibility. And so when we start looking at this advanced practice of polygyny, then we have to look at our basic things. How are we being responsible in this situation? To whom are we responsible? And in what ways do we carry out our responsibilities? So our being responsible then is, number one, as we talked about, marriage is sacred and it is for Allah only. Allah is the one who owns the marriage. So any marriage, whether it is monogamy or polygyny, then it belongs to Allah. So when we look at this idea of responsibility, I love this for us to be able to give definition to what we're doing. And so Allah gives us that clarity, and he says that men responsibility and women have a responsibility, just as you stated. So then we have to really go ahead and outline what are mine and what are his, or what are hers, and what are mine. So when we do that, I think it sharpens us when we start to really address this subject of marriage and being someone's mate, that the sakina, that the place where they decided to rest and find their tranquility. Inshallah. So Allah, I think, did a great job of giving us our responsibility. So it's clear. And, you know, in today's society, sometimes we make it cloudy and blurry to say people can define it the way they want to. and leave it at that. They can define their relationship. I think, however, that that definition of relationship should be defined within the parameters of what Allah has given us. So he has given men the charge to be the kawamun, to be the legs, to be the strength of the family and of the community. And in being the legs, the strength of the family and the community, then he has asked the men to be in charge of the women by what they provide for them, how they guard and protect them, to, as you said, respond to the social needs. That's being the legs of the community. And in that, the natural response then, is, and it should be a natural response, the natural response then is from those women, then Allah says, don't take this for granted. Number one, be obedient to me. Give me devout obedience. That's to Allah. And that devout obedience will be evident in how you guard and protect what I have asked him to provide for you. How do you guard and protect what I have asked him to provide for you? So now we see, oh, my God is really wonderful because he's bringing equity and balance to what we're doing here. And he says, he reminds us that I gave him this thing to do for you out of how I have structured him and how I have structured you. So I think all of that is beautiful when we look at who we are as God's beings.
Yes.
And we do
yes.
have a listener that has their hand up.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Yeah, let's go to, and Quran, I want to just commend you. Excellent commentary on that. Because we want our listeners to really get a clear understanding by way of the Quran. It's not Mark Shaheed's opinion. It's not Quran Shakir's opinion. It's not how we feel about it. This is what Allah is saying to us. We need to know. We need to be well informed so we can keep the form. Let's go to our caller and see what they have on their mind, Quran. Are you there?
What? I'm here. I'm opening it. All right. We are welcoming 314-337. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Wa alaikum assalam. Welcome, Brother Rashid.
Well, introduce yourself. I know it's a famous voice, and I know you are, and I know who you are, but who are you and where are you from?
This is Rashid Talam, St. Louis, Missouri. Hey, I just wanted to say this. Both your voices keep dying out. You talk.
Well, your voice just went out. We can't hear you, Rashid.
Yeah. Can you hear?
Wow. Can you hear you just came back in, but your voice went out.
It's going in and out.
That's exactly what's happening to you guys when you're speaking. Every time you speak, you block out, come back on, block out, come back on. So what you see me, what's happening to me is happening to you guys. So it's been going on since the program started. So
okay.
I just want to, I'm enjoying what I'm hearing. You know? I enjoy it.
Thank you. We appreciate that. So I'm not sure of what we need to do to remedy that.
Yeah, you just went out again. I was talking, you guys didn't hear me, and you guys are talking well, and we don't hear you. So I just want to give a greeting. Assalamu alaikum. I'm enjoying the program.
Thank you.
Okay.
Rashid, if you're still listening, keep us posted and everything. I don't know what it is that we can do, and we do apologize to our radio listening audience, and we appreciate those. Be listening to actually call in and let us know that if we're not clear or you hear a drop in a voice or something like that, just press one. We're family. I want you to know we're family. We want you to get all of this. And so, if you see something or you hear something that's not quite right, because Quran and I, we want to everything that we say, we want it to be understood. So we thank Rashid Salam for just pressing one and just informing us. I'm going to speak more into this mic. I just changed my apparatus as I have a double apparatus here to actually speak through. And I'm hoping that I'm coming through clear on my end and all. But if not, then Rashid Salam, if you're still listening and that's still happening, then please let us know. And any of the listeners that are listening in, just press 1 and say, Assalamu alaikum. You're not coming in clear. Your voice is dropping. Karen and I, we really appreciate that for you to inform us in regards to that. And she would do that for you if it was on the other end. So that we are family here. So, Karen, I don't know what it is that we can do about that, but we do apologize. And if there's anything that that you weren't clear on, that Karen may have said or I may have said, please press 1, and we'll do the best that we can to make sure that you really understand what it is that we said and you got all of it that we were actually trying to convey to you. So, Karen, let's keep moving with this.
We have another caller.
Oh, we got another caller. Okay. Let's go to the caller and see what they have on their mind. Yes. Okay.
Yes, so 636-383, welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. You are on the air.
Abdul Rahim Sabir from Missouri. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You got a question or comment, or are you going to let us know?
I just tuned in when you were having technical difficulties, but it seems to have limited itself, whatever the problem was. You're coming through clear.
Oh, okay, good.
Thank you.
I changed my apparatus because I think it might have been on me and everything, so I'm glad I have a backup here. So, alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, Brother Sabir, for letting us know. Karen and I, we've been on our mind the rest of the entire program, whether or not we're being heard clearly with no interruption. So thank you so much. And that's what I'm talking about. We all family here. So, just press 1 if something is happening that ain't supposed to be happening. Thank you so much, Brother Sabir. You know, 2 St. Louisans here from the STL.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, Karen, press 1, Sabir. Make sure you go out of the queue. And if you have any questions or comments now that you dial in and tune in, you can always press 1. And that's for all the rest of our listeners. We'd like to hear from you tonight as we talk about polygyny, the 4 R's of polygyny. And based on the revelation and also if you have questions or comments, please press 1, raise your hand. And if what is being said tonight is resonating with you, Karen, and I would love to hear from you at some point, I am going to ask you to press 1 if the information is resonating with you. And to see if after this learning lab is close to ending, if in fact you have a better understanding of polygyny. Okay, so Quran, that was ayat 34, but I think 35 is an interesting ayat too to go along with that. So if you don't mind reading that,
let me go
to our radio listeners.
Okay. And for 35, what we find, pull it up. Allah says, if you fear a breach between them, twain, appoint 2 arbiters, one from his family and the other from hers. If they wish for peace, Allah will cause their reconciliation, for Allah has full knowledge and is acquainted with all things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, Quran, when you read that, what is it that really jumps out at you in this ayah? I want to say to our radio listening audience, just to share something with you that Imam Muhammad said to us that will help you when you read the Quran. Imam Muhammad said, yes, you can say ayah, which is 1, a singular verse, that it is a verse. He said, but it's more than just a verse. He said, it's a sign. It's more than just a sign. It is an instructing sign. So you'll find that the ayat in the Quran, they are instructing signs. Allah is giving instruction for the construction of human life. So we can understand that Allah has given us instruction for the construction of human life. Just like we had the parenting family reconstruction learning lab. So how will we reconstruct the family life? How will we reconstruct the marriage life? It's by getting the instructions for the construction or reconstruction of this. So, Quran, what jumps out at you when you read Ayat 35 in Surah An-Nisa?
Well, it's clear that, one, Allah doesn't want us arguing and fighting about this. And so he's saying to us, even with this, he says that if you feel a breach between them, then between them meaning the two parties, a husband and a wife, you feel a breach between them, appoint arbiters, appoint someone who will offer sound advice, who will be able to listen and be fair in what they're saying, one from his family and the other from hers. So here's the balance. So there's one from each family. So there's representation from each side for each of their needs and their wants in the matter. And he says, if they wish for peace, Allah will cause their reconciliation. Allah will cause it. Sometimes we try to make things happen without it going through its due process, and that due process is being patient and waiting for Allah to make something happen. And that is if we wish for peace. So both need to want this to happen. We want this to be right. It says Allah has full knowledge and is acquainted with all things. And that is our reminder of Allah's might and Allah's power in our favor and in regards to helping us to be able to make sound decisions. So that stands out for me in a simple way.
Yes, very much so. Alhamdulillah, excellent. You know, see, this is one of the ayahs for the preservation of the sacred institution of marriage, and that this can be applicable not only in monogamy but also in terms of polygyny. However, I want to say this as a footnote. This is why polygyny was infused in family planning. Family planning. You know, the discussion needs to be had in the courtship phase, you see. It's very, very important that we and I know I've heard it say, "Oh, the man don't have to consult. He don't have to consult with his wife." Well, let's put it like this: in a monogamous relationship, if you're going to make some major decisions, let's say you're going to make some major decisions. Just say the man decides he want to buy a new automobile or a new truck. Let's say he wants to buy a new truck. And they have established, together a budget, a household budget that they have together, they have agreed upon. Say they have a joint account together. I'm just painting a scenario here. I'm just asking this, it's a rhetorical question. Think it would be in the best interest for the man, and let's just say he makes more money. Let's create this scenario. Let's say he makes the most money, but they have agreed to have a mutual account. Do you think it would be right for him to ultimately make a decision on his own to go and just wipe out the money that they have saved, and maybe they agreed to save it for a particular purpose, but because he thought or felt like he needed to get a new truck, you know, we were talking about that early on, and in terms of money management, would it be right for him to go and just take the money arbitrarily and buy him a new truck? I'm just asking the question. And then vice versa, would it be right for the woman she decides that she just wants to just splurge and she wants to spend a few thousand dollars on just buying whatever clothes she wants to just renew her wardrobe, say. Would it be right for her to just do that without having mutual consultation, you know, in that regard? So in important matters, the underlying thing that we need to look at, Amara Home, Shura Baina Home, is that we should conduct all of our affairs through mutual consultation. But what is the prerequisites? The prerequisites for that is to have mutual respect, just mutual respect, you know, in that regard. I mean, you leave out of the house in the morning and you come back in the evening, oh, I just want you to know I got a new wife. That might be very shocking. And say, oh, I didn't have to tell you. Or what? You know, it's about preserving the sacred institution of marriage. It's about preserving and protecting the sacred institution of family life. That's not the way Allah wants us to do that. And so just in the goodness that Allah has put into the fitra, into the original nature, in terms of compassion and consideration and all of this. See, Allah don't say everything to us. Why? Because he's already put it in the fitra. But we have to maintain that fitra. That is the religion. But most men or most minds understand it not. It is the preservation of the fitra, the original nature, you see. So the sensitivity that it is that we have to have when we are conscious regardful of Allah. And also, Allah has provided for us a human, excellent human model. This is very important, you see. So we have to follow that human model. And we have to be considerate. We have to be compassionate. And so the reason that was infused in family planning, in the premarital questionnaire, that if you have a conversation, given the prerequisites of sincerity, honesty, integrity, and transparency, then that may be a deal breaker. Because when we get to rights, we're going to talk about the rights. Women have rights. Just as a prelude, she has rights. You don't have to be in a polygynous relationship. And if it's not talked about beforehand, and it becomes a surprise, she has a right to want to dissolve that marriage because that was not the expectation going into the relationship. So this is where the transparency, the honesty, the integrity, the sincerity in regards to that, wouldn't it be better to have that discussion? And in different scenarios, whereas that could be accepted, and all, we're going to talk about all of these things, but that is so very important because you want to keep the peace. Now, to go to the arbiters, I want to say something about that because this is very, very important. One of the qualities, the main quality of the arbiter is that they have to be unbiased. I'm going to say that again. One of the main qualities of the arbiter is they have to be unbiased. You can't just go and select your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your niece or your nephew and say, I know they're going to be for me because that's my blood. No, it don't work like that. And actually, you know, as far as being Muslim from an Islamic perspective, and you're Muslim, then they should be Muslim. But they should also be a very knowledgeable Muslim. And what do you mean by that? They should be knowledgeable of the Quran. They should be knowledgeable of the life example of the Prophet. And they should be unbiased, and they should be listening to both sides. And if Quran so eloquently articulated, yes, is very apparent what Allah is saying here. if you desire to restore peace, you start out with peace, but then the peace is disturbed. But the prerequisite is if both of them desire to restore the peace, then Allah will bring about the reconciliation. And it can't be that one wants to restore the peace in the relationship, but the other one don't, or both of you don't. Then there cannot be any reconciliation. See, the free will, in terms of us making choices, Allah does not violate what he has given to us. That's very unique for human beings in terms of free will to make choices. And if one chooses not to want to restore peace, or both chooses not to want to restore peace, and peace is essential in a healthy, harmonious relationship. Please get that and understand that. Because you don't want to be miserable and you don't want to make your spouse miserable. I heard Imam Muhammad say that when both become miserable, then that's when it's time to part company. And we've talked about that in the acronym CAR, C-A-A-R, where we have to assess the relationship and we have to redirect or recommit. But the prerequisite is both want to restore peace in the relationship, then this is where, as we can see, that Allah is a partner in the relationship, but he's a managing partner, and it's easy for him to bring about the reconciliation, because Allah has said he is the one that has put the love, and he's the one that has put the mercy. You'll find that in Surah Rum, the 30th chapter of the Quran, and the 21st verse. Because obviously, if the peace is broken, that means, you understand, that those two people will have to have mercy and compassion in their heart to be able to forgive each other, to move on with the relationship. You see how that works? I'm hoping that this is coming clear to everybody that's actually listening. Allah can bring about the reconciliation, providing that you want to restore the peace. And that means that both have to want to restore peace to the relationship. It can't be one or it can't be both, because no reconciliation can come about as a result of that. So I could say more, but I think I said enough there, correct?
Yeah, those are good points to make when we talk about responsibility. And I think also when we're looking at responsibility, since our subject is polygyny from the waist up, and we're looking at what Allah has given us as our responsibility to one another as mates, I love this, that Allah gives us the space where we can have our differences. And in having our differences, he also gives us a means to find the common ground, the place where we can meet on those differences and to be able to bring about some kind of agreement in that, and that he gives us the formula for doing that. And that formula in our relationships for doing that is to bring together one from each side, someone who is fair, someone who is just, who will hear both sides and not necessarily take a side except the side
that's
of
right.
Allah.
And
right. And taking the side of Allah, then that's where that balance comes in for us. And when we look at the ayahs that we had on last week even, I invite our listening audience to go back and review the ayahs and tell us, what do you see as responsibility when we start looking at family and marriage and community life? You know, what is it? So I'm, as a teacher, that's what I would do. Sometimes I don't always give the answers. I allow the students and the participants to read for themselves and extract it. So I'm going to invite you all to do that as we look at this idea of responsibility in our marriages and in our relationships. What do you find in Surah 4 as a responsibility when Allah says, and give women on marriage their bridal gift, but if they of their own good pleasure remit any part of it to you, take it and enjoy it with right good cheer. What's the responsibility there? The next ayat, Allah says, and do not give away your property, which Allah has made for you as a means of support to the weak of understanding, and maintain them out of the profits of it, and clothe them and give them words of honest advice. What's the responsibility there? Because what we're looking at as we look at these ayahs is that Allah is giving us a foundation for thinking inside of our relationships and inside of how we move in our communities and in our families when it comes to relationships. So I'm looking to hear, I'm interested, if you would push one and raise your hand just to respond to us. What do you hear as a responsibility that we have in these ayahs, whether it's male, female? You can tell us who has the responsibility and what is the responsibility as we continue our dialogue tonight. And so we've already shared some things from the ayahs that we shared tonight, Surah 4, ayahs 34 through 36, some wonderful responsibilities that Allah has given us in these. And I'm not sure if we went through all the responsibilities in 35 and 36 as we mentioned them, so we may even want to mention some of those, Mark.
Yeah, you know, it's the type of thing where I do want to get a radio listening audience. I'm going to ask the question now. I was going to save it for a little bit later. And so if you don't want to speak, you don't have to speak. You know, you're not compelled to say anything or what, you know. But I just want to ask the question, if you could be a participant in this little mini survey that I like to conduct periodically, that if you have heard anything tonight from Quran Shakir or myself on polygyny that have really resonated with you, either this week or last week, if you heard part one and now you're hearing part two, that have given you a better understanding or enlightenment to you in regards to polygyny, then I'm just going to ask you, just to be a participant, you don't have to say anything if you don't choose not to, I'm going to ask you to press 1 now and just hold it for 10 seconds. Press 1. If anything you heard tonight has resonated with you, whereas that now you have a better understanding to this point, because we haven't finished. We got some more R's here. And I'm at 8, 9, and 10. Did we get any participation? Did anybody press 1?
Yes, we have several people that have pressed 1.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask those of you that if you don't want to say anything, you can press 1 and go out. But if you would like to say something just in general, you don't have to be specific if you choose not to. Just stay in the queue, and you can just let Quran and myself know just in general. Yes, I have benefited from listening to this presentation on polygyny. Or you can be specific, like Quran was asking a specific question in that regard. So, with that being said, Quran, have anybody in the queue that we can open the mic and they can just say in a general way or a specific way what has resonated with them? Quran?
We do. And we can start with 571-752. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Go right ahead and share what you've learned.
You are live. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. Who are you? Where are you calling from? The voice sounds familiar.
I'm calling from Dulles, Virginia, and my name is Soraya.
I didn't catch your name.
Soraya?
Okay. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. So what resonated with you tonight that you've heard tonight? And I don't know if you heard part one, but what has resonated with you tonight that you'd like to share?
I didn't hear part one, but what resonated with me is that we're even having this discussion. I think it's long overdue. I have a particular idea in my mind as far as polygyny, but I find that many people make decisions about polygyny without having this foundation of knowledge that you need to make a decision.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
So this has been an awesome, I'm sorry I missed last week, I'm going to go back and listen to it. This has been an awesome opportunity to learn. I do support polygyny. I'm not in a polygamous marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But what I understand from Quran, Sunnah, Imam Abdi Muhammad, you want for your sister what you want for yourself.
Alhamdulillah.
And I'm throwing that in there because, like I said, I support polygyny. And if I have a good husband, a supporting husband, and he's following Quran and Sunnah, and in this particular eye, he can afford this and he
mm-hmm.
can be fair, why should
mm-hmm.
I deny him polygyny?
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, sister. You know, Quran and I, we really appreciate you calling up and really speaking up. You know, because I always say this, you know, we may, and it's just the analogy I use, we may all go to the same school, we may be in the same class, but we're on different levels.
Yes.
We're just on different levels. You see, so
absolutely.
Sometimes we have to just acknowledge, I haven't gotten to that level.
Yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes we be struggling with certain things that Allah has given in the Quran. Just like some men struggle with the mar. They
yes.
struggle with that.
Yes.
You know, it's like in their mind, why should I have to do that? You see? But when we get knowledge and correct information and insight and understanding of this, then you understand. See, because we have to come to the Quran and what Allah's guidance is in the Quran. And we have to want to adhere to what God's word is, and we should want to conform to what God's will and what God's way is for us. Now,
absolutely.
It may not be for some people, and they may not have come to that level. But at least we can say that by having a production like this, if you're asked about that, you won't just begin to express your feelings, and your feelings are negative, or just express your emotions. Because this religion requires that we be well-informed, that we have to be knowledgeable. We have to be able to support our way of life in an intelligent way. So thank you
yes.
so much. We do appreciate
you.
Yes,
thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. We appreciate you. May Allah keep you all safe.
Yes, alhamdulillah. Continue to listen. Alhamdulillah. Press 1 as you go out the queue so we can keep the studio clear. So, Quran, who else do we have?
Yes, we have 423-313. We are eager to hear your comments on our subject tonight.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum as-salam. That sounds like a famous voice. Who are you and where are you calling from?
The man from Chattanooga.
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
So, Jemana, so anything resonate with you tonight thus far?
Yes, it did. I was just listening to the two of you. Very, very good information. And I was just thinking about other religions that have polygamy. And the difference what we have, and we're trying to take care of a nation that's already here instead of trying to build a nation.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
sometimes
that we think that the children, but a lot of children not being taken care of because of this reason, because they don't have the knowledge to go into
mm-hmm.
this type of
thing. Yes,
but
yes.
We would take what Allah has already planted here. I think
yes.
we would be very pleased with us as a community.
Yes, yes. Alhamdulillah. No, that's an interesting observation that you make, Jemana, in terms of the preservation of family life. You know, when we look at, you know, why, you know, we'll get to remedy. That's the next aura. But I just wanted a little prelude to that. During the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the wars, which decimated men that were husbands, but they were also fathers. And so it left widow women. It left children now being orphans. And so Allah speaks a lot about the orphans and the rights of the orphans and all. And so it was honorable men that stepped up. Courtship at that time was not the same or was not as pronounced as it is today. But we have a different social dynamic. But the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he modeled monogamy and he modeled polygyny. And so if it was not the Prophet, it was one of the Sahabas, you know, the companions that was men, you know, that didn't allow a woman to have to struggle. And especially women that had children. I mean, you know, that's why it's good to read the Sirah of the Prophet and his honorable undertakings in terms of why he married certain women. And you'll find that more times than not, it was for the preservation of family and community life. Family and community life. And this is what it is that we have to get when we start talking about polygyny above the waist, because oftentimes we're looking at the wrong thing. And Allah has said in the Quran, do not follow your lust. And that's in a monogamous relationship, but it's also in a polygynous relationship. So it's the same for both in that regard. So you're not to follow, you're to follow the guidance of Allah. And when we follow the guidance of Allah, then it makes it a lot easier to be accepting, even though it may not be for you in particular, but easier for you to digest and to articulate, you know, with correct information and not just emotion. So thank you so much, Jemana, for calling in and sharing what it is that resonated with you. And may Allah continue to bless you and keep on listening. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. Press 1,
right,
if you would, Jemana, as you go out the queue. Press 1 as you go out to keep the studio clear. Quran, we have any other callers in the queue? Raise their hand. Want to share what
That's
resonated?
That's it. We still have the brother who spoke earlier. His hand is still raised from earlier, so I don't know if he
okay,
still
well,
has
we can open his mic to see if he
all right.
has something.
Okay, there we go. 636383.
Mm-hmm.
You can go ahead and make
a
comment if you
want. Well,
like.
Make myself severe.
I knew I was still on.
Well, well, you might as well tell anything resonate with you tonight, severe.
Yeah,
I know you're
yeah,
a scholar in this.
Yeah, particularly the, when Sis Grant asked the question about giving back a portion of the marriage payment, and what stuck out to my mind is that women are very perceptive, and if a sister is willing to give back part of the dollar, then she obviously is seeing that the man can afford to give all of what he gave her.
I didn't catch the last part of that, what you said about in terms of giving back, that the sister is what now?
Perceptive, very perceptive, and is she giving back part of the dollar because she's thinking that he really can't afford to give her what he gave her, so she's going to give
back. Oh, I got you. Alhamdulillah. That's a very good point.
That's a kindness and a mercy.
Yeah, that's a kindness and mercy of her heart. So that's very very perceptive of you, Sabir. And we'll get a look and Terry from Quran in regards to that. Thank you so much for sharing. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank
you.
And then it looks like Sister Jemana has her hand up again.
Okay,
and
well, we can go.
Sabir, Brother Sabir, if you push 1 on your phone, then you won't be in the queue anymore because we put you on mute, push 1, it'll take you out of the queue.
Yeah, that's right. So, Karan, you want to give a maybe say a succinct comment on that, you know, for a woman that would do that? You know, I think that's very astute observation.
That is. And I think he said it. You know, that's a kindness, and that is a mercy when a woman does that because she knows even though he gave that, you know, he did it out of his willingness to obey Allah because Allah gave that command. But she knows that, you know, he can't really afford this, so I am going to honor him by giving it back to him. And that is her choice if she does.
And you know, something else by way of the Quran, I got to share this real quickly. You know, Allah has said in the Quran, and dear believers, this is very, very important because actually I have seen a potential. I've seen a couple, two or three potential marriages not come and happen because of the mara. Allah says in the Quran, you know, Allah says that he doesn't want hardship on any of us. He always said that. So even when we go through something, he always lets us know that he doesn't want any hardship. See? And Allah also has said, let the man of little means, I'm paraphrasing, give according to his means. Let the man, you understand, of greater means, give according to his means. So if we take that and we see that in that regard, then we should not want a hardship. We should not want a hardship. You know, Allah is our Rahman. He's our Rahim. He's the most merciful benefactor. He's the most merciful redeemer. But we have the capacity to show compassion, to be merciful. And then we always should be one to the point where we're thinking with the Quran. So if Allah says that he doesn't want hardship, then this is something that he's revealing to us that we should want hardship. The sacred institution of marriage is the most important thing, you know, because he understands and realizes his role and responsibility. And he's going to try to the best of his ability to fulfill that. So, let the man of his little means give according to his means, and the man of greater means give according to his means. And one of the things that we should not do is be comparing or have the expectation of a potential mate that may not have the means that maybe another sister, brother, was interested in. I'm just only cautioning you in regards to that. But this is what Allah has said, and that even zakat, even that's one of the pillars. But the zakat for one believer won't be the same as the zakat for another believer, because Allah has given us instructions in regards to that. But Allah is always conscious and regardful of first and foremost the sacred institution of marriage and family life. This is very important. This is not Marsha, he's saying it. This is in the Quran. But we just have to adhere to what God's word is and pay attention to that. And even when it comes to the sacred institution of marriage, we have to pay attention to what God is saying. And then we have to apply it in every component of our life, even in the courtship that leads to partnership. I could say more, but I think I said enough. I'm going to stop there. Quran, any other callers in the queue that want to make a comment? And if not,
it's fine. We can continue.
Well, we
our
want to talk. Yeah, I think we can begin to talk about, we talk about responsibility. You want to say something about the word responsibility? You know, as a word tologist, I was inspired by Imam Muhammad to always look at words. When we look at responsibility, we see two words, basically. Responsibility. And we can look at it from two different ways. Allah wants us to respond with the ability that he has given to us in our fitra, our original nature. Whatever Allah has given to us as responsibility, he has given us the ability to be able to perform that. Because what Quran read in terms of Surah An-Nisa, the fourth chapter of the Quran, the 34th verse, Allah states that he has given one something in terms of strength and with their earnings in justifying that this is your responsibility. Allah does not give anyone responsibility without giving them the ability. This is what I'm saying. We ought to respond with ability. And that's the NBA, the natural born ability. Allah has already put it in our original nature. For the male, and he has also put the ability for the responsibility that he has given to the female, the NBA, the natural born ability. There's a lot to be said in regards to that, and that would be a learning lab in and of itself. Maybe we'll do that at some point in time. But we can also look at the word responsibility and turn the word around. It is the ability to respond rightly. This goes back to the fitra, the ability to respond rightly. You know, when we stay and never lose that original nature, it is the ability to respond in the right way. It's the ability to respond justly. You know, see, this is one of the prerequisites or requirements, that the man has to be just. And Allah has already said last week when it was explaining, I believe it was Surah 4, 128 or 129 in the Quran, maybe the ardent desire of the man in terms of the heart. I mean, to love each one equally. But you won't be able to do that. That's affair of the heart. But you have to be just. There is a difference that's there. And Quran gave an excellent example in terms of if you were in a religious relationship, you have two different women with different situations, different conditions, and all. One has certain rights, and we're going to get to the rights. The rights are going to be the last thing. They have rights in a polygynous relationship. And I want to say also, I'll be looking at inviting a polygynous family on in terms of having them on for, if not all of the, you know, the points that we will do on collision, because it's so important, and I've had them on before, you know, and I think they would be very obliging. And I've also had the widows of Imam Kazim Ahmed, his wives, Amina, Sister Amina, and Sister Nadia, and know them very well, and they were very obliging in accepting my invitation, you see. So we want to provide the correct information, education, when we look at responsibility. And any man that takes on a polygynous relationship, it should be seen as taking on more responsibility. You see, Allah tells us in 51:56 why he created the human being. And Imam Muhammad has said that is the core in terms of the worship of Allah, the service of Allah, for what Allah's purpose for his creation. So whatever it is that we do, including the sacred institution of marriage, it becomes servitude to Allah's will and plan. And the sacred institution of marriage is part of God's will and plan. So we want to make sure we try to get it as right as we possibly can. This is very, very important, whether it's a monogamous relationship or a polygynous relationship. So now, Quran, let's begin to go to the third R, and I can see that perhaps next week we'll put a wrap on this. I originally didn't plan on having 3 weeks, but I am Allah the best knower, because just from the response of our radio listening audience, they're getting so much from this. But the third R is remedy. Remedy. This is very, very important. You know, many ayats from the Quran and even surahs from the Quran, if you notice, and I'm quite sure we're very astute, we've noticed that when the Meccan surahs and ayats came from the 13 years that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahabas, the companions, were in Mecca, where they were being persecuted. To no living end, they were being persecuted, and they could not practice the religion of Al-Islam. And so the Meccan surahs would look quite different than the Medinan surahs of the Quran. Much in terms of when you're talking about the sacred institution of marriage, when you're talking about the sacred institution of family life, in terms of even community life, most all of those are Medinan surahs and ayats that Allah has revealed. When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions could establish the religion of Al-Islam, which is very, very important. Therefore, it's good to read the history, the historical context, and when revelation was given at that time. Now the organizational structure of the Quran is quite different in that regard, because remember, Allah was giving guidance to the Prophet as he lived his life in the time that he lived his life. And this is so very, very important. And the Prophet never deviated, not one iota. He never deviated. He gave it just as Allah had revealed it, and he lived it just as Allah revealed it in the demonstration of the Quran. This is very, very important. And when he gave it to those that were close companions in regards to that, they tried to the best of their ability to follow the Prophet, to follow the guidance that was coming from Almighty God Allah through the angel Jibril. Mm-hmm. And this was over a period of 23 years. Only 10 years in Medina Manawa, the city of enlightenment, where family, community life was established, not only for that time, but for all times. So I had to say that in that regard. And so what took place was wars that decimated many men. And so when we look today, you know, Quran, we look at today, I think it really, when we talk about decimation of real men, potential mates, I see it as being worse than at that time, because just think about all the things now that have brought about the decimation of really good marriageable men for women. And if we use a statistic, if every eligible Muslim man would marry every eligible Muslima just in our community, there still would be some without husbands. Fran, I can say more, but I'm going to stop there. So we're looking at remedy for social ills. There were social ills during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, the disparity of women to men, men to women. And I think it's even a greater disparity. And some of you have this information. Many of you go on the Internet and you consult with Sheikh Google, if you will, And you can see many of these large cities, I've heard reports 8-1, 9-1, 10-1, 11-1, some even say higher than that. And now we're talking about transgender. They don't even qualify as being marriageable material. We're talking about mass incarceration. They are not ready in terms of looking at being marriageable material. I could go on, but I'm going to stop there, Karan, and we do want to say to you that you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and this is the 4 R's on Polygyny, Part 2. And you're listening to Karan Shakir and Mark Shahid. And if you have any questions or comments, we do ask that you press 1. And if you're listening by way of the Internet, you want to join in, that call-in number is 714-816-4673. And you still have some time to press 1. We'd like to hear from you. Karan, I'm going to stop there.
Yes, I was being patient because I wanted to share a couple of things. And when Sister Saraya was speaking, what came to my mind was that, you know, she said that we don't have this conversation enough. And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things we don't do is have this conversation with our children to help them to understand how and why Allah has done this. So I love that we're on the R now of remedy, because that will also help us to understand why we have this as a social means, really, for community life. And I think we have been conditioned by our Western philosophies and thinking, and so it doesn't allow us to really have an open mind to this. And we only think about the personal hurt or the personal things we may lose, and not really think about what will our families and our communities gain. And so I think when we look at it that way, we can grow.
Mm-hmm.
And in that growth, we really need to then apply the things that Allah has given us. Start looking at, you know, what am I responsible for in doing this? What are my requirements? Because the difference between a responsibility and a requirement is that responsibilities are the things that are upon your shoulder with doing this. What is it that I am responsible for? It is the thing that is my duty, whereas the rights are the things that are compulsory and it's a necessary condition in order for you to do. I'm sorry, not the rights, the requirements. It's a necessary. Yeah, the requirements is a compulsory thing, is necessary condition in order for you to do that. We have to have those conversations so that we are not hurting our communities and our families with doing these things that we think is our quote-unquote right. And really, when we change the paradigm and change the way we see things, I think that the results will be different. So I just want to put that out there for us to have conversations, even if you're not on that level yet. Still have a conversation.
Yeah.
Don't speak from a bitter position even. Just speak from the fair position of looking at what Allah has outlined. When we do that, then we learn to be open to what Allah has given us. And everybody is not going to understand everything that Allah has given us. You know, there's so many things that we have to grow into understanding on, and some things we may never grow into understanding on, but never should we defame or debase or talk about in a negative way what Allah has given us.
Alhamdulillah. No, I'm so glad. Karan, I tell you, couldn't have said it any better. And that's so very, very important. And this is why, you know, they have a platform such as this, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, so that this type of information can be disseminated, information and education in terms of our way of life, to be able to be supportive of our way of life, to be able to defend our way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's unique. But the uniqueness is that we are getting the guidance from our Lord and Creator. This is very, very important. Allah didn't just create us, just leave us. You know, just leave us. And you know something that you said last week, and I think really, really is very important in terms of giving a historical context when, you know, Allah occurred, you know, what men, unconscious men were doing in terms of just having a concubine, in terms of just many, multiple women, no limit. See, you know, we never think about we never think about this. You know, have anybody ever thought in terms of four and no more, just four and no more? Exception was made for the prophet. But then you have to ask yourself questions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to ask questions. He wants us to ask questions. You know, Allah says throughout the Quran, in that are signs for those who reflect. In there is, and what is he saying? Allah is saying, in that is more messages, more insight, if in fact we reflect upon what Allah's revelation is to us. And that, you know, that we strive and strain to want to understand, that sometimes it requires that we have to, you know, do something like the prophet did. I mean, to empty yourself out. This is what Imam Muhammad told us. Why Muhammad ibn Abdullah was the perfect vessel. He emptied everything out in terms of what his thinking was, how he felt, the emotions that he was having. He was a human being. He never did succumb to those things in the of the jahiliyyah, the ignorant, those in darkness. You know, he never did succumb to that. He had a pristine, and he kept a pure, innocent nature, original nature. But Imam Muhammad said he emptied everything out. I'm quite sure there was many thoughts that was going through the prophet's mind. But he had a good heart, and his heart never was tainted. He always had pure intentions to want to see a better life, to be motivated to do the right thing, but he didn't have the guidance. And because of that, because of his heart, it was revealed on his heart. You see? And so we have to look at that in a way whereas that if we have pure intention, if we have the right motivation, if we desire to please Allah and not affected by the shaitan creating false desires, we want to keep with the true desire in our heart, then Allah will bless us with insight and understanding, not with the Quran. Allah's messenger was the recipient of that. This is the final revelation. There is no need for any other revelation. It covers every aspect of our life. And much in terms of what Allah gives in the Quran in terms of solution for pollution in society life, it becomes a remedy, an antidote for what Allah already knew was going to happen. There's nothing under the sun that can happen with human life that Allah was not aware of. So his revelation is in accordance with his creation. This is very important for us to know and to undertake. This is noteworthy for us to take note and know that Allah is all-knowing. He's all-knowing. He's Abbasir. He's all-seeing. As-Sami. He's all-hearing. You see? So Allah is Al-Hakim. He's all-wise. He knows this. So he already revealed what the antidote, what the remedy would be, because he knew what some men would do that would take away and would also fragment the marriage and family life. these are the means in terms, this is part of God's will and plan. So Allah, he says, well, if that happens, I'm going to allow polygyny so that my sacred institution of marriage is upheld and my sacred institution of family life, which leads to community life and the human society that I want, can be upheld. And not even, do you understand, to imagine that a woman would have to begin to think of other means in terms of how to support her family. This is something else that we have to think and consider. Whereas that she may have to commit immoral acts or what be supported. Allah is Al-Hakim. He's all wise. He gave the role and responsibility to men to be the support, you understand, of women, to be the support of community, the ummah, the society. All of those, you understand, is speaking to the woman and the responsibility that men have, not only to the women, but also to the community, to the ummah, to human society. All this is a big responsibility to undertake. It's no joke. It's nothing to play with. So we have to have the right motivation. So the right motivation is to see, oh Allah, why did you allow this? Why did you permit this? Men have to ask that question. And women have to ask that question. Now, either we believe Allah is all-knowing, Allahu Alam, that he's the best knower, that he's Al-Hakim, he's all-wise, Abasir, he's all-seeing, that he's all-hearing. He knows all of this. He's independent of everything. That means time and space. You see, we have to wait till things sometimes happen to try to figure it out. You see? But Allah is independent of all of that. So his revelation is an indication that he's far ahead of the human being. And he knew what some would do. And he knows the mind of the shaitan. You see, this is one of the things that shaitan gets particular joy in, you know, Quran, in terms of breaking up and destroying marriages. Because when we understand that marriage and family life is the cornerstone for human society, this is what Allah has established, and as Quran said earlier, this is Allah's sacred institution. But it's up to us to know and understand how important it is and the preservation of it. So Allah stopped what was going on at that time. He stopped it. For men just using women for their own personal satisfaction and discarding them, and then limited it to just four, but he put a prerequisite, a requirement. So you might not even qualify for four in that regard. And I'm just looking at this and say, wow, look at these other things that precede rights that oftentimes you hear many that's unknowing and saying, I have rights. It would be just like going to apply for a job, and there's a job description. There's job responsibilities we're talking about. But you're going in saying that you have the right for that job or that position. You can't do that. That'd be so unintelligent. To think that you would have the right based on what? Do you qualify? Do you meet the requirements? Can you fulfill the job responsibility? So we have to ask ourselves, we should look at the sacred institution of marriage, even in a monogamous relationship. You might not be ready. You might not be ready. We have to assess ourselves. But how do we assess ourselves? We have to assess ourselves by the framework that Allah gives us in the Quran. We have to assess ourselves by the human model example of the demonstration, the living demonstration of the Quran in the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the prayers and peace be upon him. Allah just put it on my heart to say these things, but we have to really, really be serious about this. And when we look at it, those who think that they have the rights, maybe after listening to part one, part two, and then inshallah next week, you look at, you know, it being the finality on this, then many that think as men or males in this community, they may have a frown on their face and say, you know what, I don't meet the requirements. I don't meet the requirements. You know, it was Allah's messenger who gave four very simplistic reasons why one would marry, why one would marry. And one of them was wealth. Another one was lineage, or sometimes translated social status. The other one was looks, or it said beauty or looks. And the last one was taqwa, often translated as piety, righteous behavior in that regard. But this is what taqwa produces, you see. And sometimes we go for the other three, but we are not looking for one that possessed taqwa. This is very important. My good brother and friend, Imam Kazim Ahmed, he shared this with me personally. You know, when he was entertaining polygyny for a second time, and he went to Imam W.D. Muhammad, and he also shared this on national radio because he wanted to consult with his leader in regards to what he was about to undertake. And what was on Kazim's mind was, would he be able to have enough money to be able to maintain them? That was the first and foremost thing on his mind. You see, in terms of wealth, Imam Muhammad said to him, this is what Kazim said, Imam Kazim said, Rahim Allah Anhu, he said, Imam Muhammad said, who told you that? He said, who told you that? And then Imam Muhammad went on to say to him, he said, the thing that you should really be concerned about is your taqwa, being God conscious or conscious regardful of what God says. You see, that's the most important. Because if you're more conscious of what God says, Allah is going to provide a way for you to fulfill your responsibility, the extra responsibility that you have taken on. See? So Imam Muhammad, he prioritized it like the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave it. And this is how we have to understand the religion, as we say that Al-Quran is the foundation for this learning lab, the courtship and marriage learning lab, the parenting and family reconstruction learning lab, and then the life example of the Prophet in living the Quran is foundational. And also the tafsir, the clear explanation by Imam W.D. Muhammad. This is very important for us to know and to understand, because sometimes we misprioritize. We're putting more emphasis on how a person looks, how much wealth they got, or maybe their social status. But all three of those things, at some point in time in your life, you can lose all of that. You can lose your wealth. You can lose your external good looks. Are they going to change? Yes. Or you can lose your social status. But if you keep your taqwa, being conscious, regardful, God's word, will, and way, you can be a wealthy person. You can always maintain good looks, and you can always have high social status. And I can go to the Quran and bring it right to you, what Allah says. The most honored in Allah's eyesight. And that's what the eyesight we should really be concerned about, not what somebody else see. Y'all sure look good together. Allah says, if you don't distinguish yourself, it's not by your nation or your tribe. And Allah says, I'm the one that gives you shape and your form, and I'm also the one that gives you your power and all of this. So none of that is so as important as some of us make that to be. Allah says the most honored in his eyesight is the one that's most consciously regardful of me. Because that's where you're going to get your best man. That's where you're going to get your best woman. Point blank. But then you can get the other three in the one, but only with taqwa. If you go after the other and prioritize the other three, that might be all that you get. And you may only get it for only a period of time. Very important. I think I've said enough, and we're right at the top of the hour here. So, Quran, we're going to be looking at part three, and we're going to maybe continue in terms of looking at this is a remedy for social ills, And this is why it has to be considered in terms of those four R's. And then we're going to conclude with rights. And I think you're going to be surprised when you hear about rights. And I think it's going to bring everything is going to culminate with the rights in all by way of the revelation. So with that being said, Quran, want to give you a couple of minutes for any concluding remarks that you'd like to make, and make sure, you know, that that radio listening audience know how they can bring it to the lab and how they can get this very important tool, the premarital questionnaire. Quran?
Yes, I'd like to remind first, thank you to our listening audience, and then remind you that this is a learning lab, and I am interested in seeing what you've learned. So go to our social media and share some things you have learned. I am really interested as we look at the remedy. What remedies do you see, as we've shared some ideas, what remedies for social ills could polygyny actually bring? Would you mind posting that? Because I would love for us to have a discussion right there on social media. Let's get some engagement going on our social media. So our social media is Bring It to the Lab, and that is on Facebook and on Instagram. Go ahead and join us. Go ahead right now while you're listening, and go ahead and click like or follow, depending on which medium you're on, and be a part of what we're doing, inshallah. Again, we thank you for tuning in to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab on IWDM Radio, and we pray that you've benefited from what we've shared. If you did, we ask you to tell a friend. And that way of telling a friend is call them, make a post, and say, next week, let's listen together. Or join me in listening and share the information with them. We ask you to, by all means, stay connected with us and, you know, join us on our social media, as I've shared. And if you have any questions or any comments, then go ahead and email us at bringittothelab@gmail.com. Again, we thank you, and back to you, Mark.
Alhamdulillah, the praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. And I want to thank you, Quran Shakir, for each and every Thursday. Allah bless you with with your insight and wisdom that you share with us here each and every Thursday on the Cush Up and Marriage Learning Lab. I want to thank our radio listening audience for being a very attentive audience tonight. And I want to particularly thank those who pressed one and called in and shared with the radio listening audience and you and I as hosts of the show what resonated with them. Because without you all, we couldn't have IWDM radio platform and most certainly these productions that we have, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab included, would not be a reality for us. I want to say that the beat goes on here on IWDM radio as tomorrow is Salatu Juma Day in the Muslim world. And for those of you who are immobile and can't get out and about, you can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sayer. And that begins at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And the longest-running production is Words Make People, once again, with the very distinguished, esteemed Imam Mikhail Sayer. That's each and every Sunday afternoon. It begins here at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, high noon Central Standard Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time. You always have very intriguing guests, alhamdulillah, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And to my understanding, it's going to be our beloved sister, Fisher Muhammad. You may get her on twice this week, as I have given her a set of dates here to be with me on the MGM roundtable. I want to just say as a note that we're really trying to help to promote the dinner and conference. It's a historic dinner and conference that will be coming up in the Windy City, Chicago, on September the 23rd and the 24th, in giving what Imam Muhammad asked us to give him a good home, in us recognizing the work that he has done and all. And so the preservation of the legacy of Imam W.D. Muhammad, some very, very outstanding people, intellects in our community will be making presentations almost all day Saturday, which will be the 24th of September, and also the 23rd will be a dinner. So I'm just only cautioning you. I was told that the tickets are going fast for the dinner, so you need to go to studyalislam.com. studyalislam.com and make your reservations. It won't be streamed. This is the first in terms of a major get-together in our community. So when you hear some of these names and all, I know that many of you know many of them, and you should want to be there in terms of the acknowledgement of our beloved leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad. And also, we want to say at the start of the week is with the very distinguished, esteemed host, Rashid Salam, on the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, also with his reoccurring guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed. You want to bring your pen and pad and take good notes. And that starts at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And Wednesday, which was yesterday, it is the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab with our very distinguished, esteemed host and co-host, Dr. Patricia Slaw-Dean, joining yours truly, Mark Shaheed, on the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, as we have a very informative book that was authored by Dr. Muhammad and Ikram Bashir, on parenting skills based on the Quran and the Sunnah, practical application for various ages. It's an outstanding publication that we're using as a textbook So you want to tune in for that. That starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And following that is the MGM Roundtable. It's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable. It's yesterday. We had the national convener of Imams, Imam Dr. Bashir Ali, giving us an update on the progress of the convened, the sectional conveners and all, and the educational process for many of our young people in terms of learning and assessing information on leadership and wanting to take on leadership roles. So we'll have a very exciting guest, inshallah, next week. So we ask you to tune in. That starts at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time here on IWDM Radio. Last but not least, please support the Muslim Journal, as it's the lifeblood of our community, as it has supported us for many, many years. Please keep your subscription and think about somebody that you can get a subscription for. So once again, Quran, it's been a plum pleasing pleasure as always. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.